points I guess we need to talk about it, our country. At a certain point, we seem to know what our direction was. Now we're just floundering. And discourse is corrupt. But I'm not telling you anything you don't know.
No, I suppose not.
And so something is changing. There are also ways that people are not putting up with things in new ways. New fashions, and so that's changing too. Sexism is—I mean, men are being made to
rethink what.
Yes, rethink what's acceptable.
Yeah.
What is acceptable behavior, and that kind of thing goes from the most intimate behavior inside of somebody's domestic life to large political statements.
Yeah.
But that's one. That's one example.
Robert,
there's shifts that are where people's sense of themselves and who they are and what they're entitled to and what their expectations, their life expectations, they're shifting. They're shifting quickly.
Robert, I want to thank you for joining us. Here on Preference, we're looking forward to hearing what you bring to us this Saturday, Ford Food and Drink, beginning at 7 p.m. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor Kathy Kelly, co-founder of Voices for Creative Nonviolence, on Thursday, September 27th at 7 p.m. at PCC Cascade in Portland. Kathy will speak on Afghanistan, Iraq, and Yemen, finding hope in countries devastated by U.S. policy. Her particular focus helps expose the direct impacts of U.S. policies, including sanctions, war, drones, and military support for warring parties. Again, that's Kathy Kelly, co-founder of Voices for Creative Nonviolence, on Thursday, September 27th at 7 p.m. at Moriarty Arts Building Auditorium at PCC Cascade, 705 North Killingsworth in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
In celebration of our 50th anniversary, KBOO is teaming up with the Mississippi Records Music and Film Series. KBOO will be hosting Killer of Sheep on Wednesday, October 3rd at 7:30 p.m. at the Hollywood Theater in Portland. Filmed in Watts in 1975, Killer of Sheep follows a working man in a moment of existential crisis, trying to make ends meet at a job he finds repugnant, and trying to connect with his family and community. The Library of Congress declared Killer of Sheep a national treasure and one of the first 50 films on the National Film Registry. Again, that's Killer of Sheep on Wednesday, October 3rd at 7:30 p.m. at the Hollywood Theater in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Warning, the following message is only for listeners who contributed during KBOO's Fall Membership Drive. If you did not contribute to KBOO's Fall Membership Drive, please turn off your radio now.
On behalf of the entire KBOO community, we'd like to offer our deepest and sincerest thanks for your contribution to KBOO's Fall Membership Drive. Your support makes KBOO possible. Thank you.
If you didn't contribute during KBOO's Fall Membership Drive, you may now turn your radio back on.
It's not too late. Go to kboo.fm/give to make a contribution right now.
Then the next time this spot plays, you'll be able to listen.
Yo, man, it's a lot of brothers out there flaking and perpetrating, but scared to kick reality.
Man, you've been doing all this dope producing. You ain't had a chance to show them what time it is.
So what you want me to do?
Spread yourself. Hey, 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 we back. This is the wonderful Calculated Conversation Radio Show, man. I'm your host, David Jefferson. I just feel good right now. I'm your host, David Jefferson, man. And then your co-host, Ken Jones, is in the house.
Yeah, what's happening with y'all?
Ken Jones is on the real estate right now.
What's going on with you? How you been, bro?
Man, I've been good, man.
Yeah?
Yep, that's right. Just growing, man, growing mentally, mm-hmm. you know. Some change has been taking place recently, you know, and they've been good, you know. I just realized how much more room I had to grow.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, just when you figure that, you know, you understand the world, or you understand life, and you know who you are, and you know what you're doing, and you're managing your energy and strategizing your communication and calculating everything. You know, when you do all that, and then something hits you and say, yeah, you still don't know enough, though. You know what I mean?
Hey, that's one of them ones.
You still don't know enough, though. Man. You ain't there yet. You know what I mean? You ain't there yet. And so I just kind of had to take a cool look at myself and some of the things that I was doing. And like I told you last week, I just been reading. I've been doing a lot more reading and a lot more writing and just being a lot more spiritual, man. And it's got me in a good place, man. And good things are definitely taking place around me, though.
Right.
You know, so it's you know, it's just amazing to be in control of that and to understand what it is and, you know, to make the proper moves in order to feel the way that you want to feel, you know. And this is what proves how much control we actually end up having over the way that we feel.
Right.
You know, and so, you know, I always find it a tragedy when, you know, when people think that the world is kind of what's against them, you know, and, you know, they got to fight society and they got to, and this is what's making it hard for them to be happy. Somebody else is making it hard for me to be happy. You know what I mean? Mm. And when you have that mindset, man, you never really, you know, get a chance to look at the, you know, the main cause. You don't get to go deep enough. You don't get to really pull out no mirror, so you don't really have to take accountability. You don't have to grow, and basically you don't even have to know. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so
I think it's important too, though, that, you know, no matter what level you at, and, you know, and I stress this in just personal conversations, it's not like you get to a level and you just hit a stride and then from there on out it's smooth sailing. I don't feel like that's ever a thing.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And so no matter what level of understanding you at, no matter what pace you're, it's going to be something to remind you that you can be better.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
There is more to work on.
Yes.
And that's one of those things that is I've learned at this point in my life to take that and ask myself, what's the lesson in that?
Mm-hmm.
What was I supposed to figure out from that? When I get slapped, when I'm doing good, I'm doing right by people, doing all the things right, and then something hit me, you know, crazy from left field, it's like, okay, then there's clearly something that I need to understand, something I need to recognize.
Right.
And that's that moment of having to sit down and be like, okay. And this is something too, and I heard this years ago, and this is one of those things that echo through my head quite often. It's the idea that, you know, this, why did this have to happen to me? And it's like, the thing is, sometimes things just happen.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, let's say a car accident, or, you know, a ticket, like things just happen,
right?
You know, and not saying we don't have a part in these things, but sometimes things just happen, and it's a natural part of it. And this is what I gotta, you know, definitely even for myself as I'm saying this, where it's like having to catch that in that moment, and, you know, have that understanding that, you know, that's one little piece in there.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't take away from everything else that's going on,
right?
And that's the ability, I think, to be able to catch that and, you know, be the duck feathers and let it just roll off.
Right.
You know, that's a good place to get to.
Mm-hmm.
Not saying that it don't affect you, not saying it's not going to trigger an emotion and make you feel some kind of way, because that's not. We human. We're going to feel what we need to feel, but it's not staying in that.
Right.
That's the bigger thing. I'm lightweight an advocate for life, jumping in and smacking you right quick and reminding you, like, let's go to this next level.
Yeah, it will, man.
Yeah.
It will. I definitely had a major smacking, man, and I was like, dang, so I was missing out on all this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I just had to, you know, start educating myself and, you know, I haven't had a chance to really, you know, normally I would, you know, crack more jokes or, you know, be a little bit more on social media, you know, posting memes or something. But now if it ain't business or it ain't nothing just real, then I don't really post at all.
Right.
You know what I mean? I just kind of slow it up and had to realize how I wanted my energy to be used, you know, and what I really wanted in return, you know, and how I got to get to the next level.
Right.
You know, I got to change my thinking and my actions.
Right.
You know, and some of the values that I've held, you know. So, yeah, this just got to switch up, man, you know. So,
That's big. You know, put that out there and understand. I mean, we've been doing this show, you know, for a good half a year now.
Right.
And so, you know, through this time, and just this is what this is about. You know what I mean? That evolution. And for the listeners, y'all getting to see this happen live and direct.
Right.
And it's not a thing. And we've been preaching this from the jump, is that, it, you know, it's a continual. It's a continual. Things are going to be built upon as we move forward. And you out here growing.
Right, yeah, we don't, yeah, exactly. Yeah, so, yeah, you guys get a chance to hear it live, you know. Hopefully, you know, the idea is to just kind of make it cool and make it popular to grow and just kind of check oneself and just kind of reevaluate, you know, yourself, your goals, your energy, the effect you want to have on people, you know. And it's like we don't, you know, these shows aren't written down. We're not reading anything, and you know, a lot of times we don't know what we're gonna say, but we just believe in coming to the show and being raw, you know, and hopefully the truth will prevail and as clear as possible. And so we don't know how it's gonna play out, but you know, we just know that we're here to play and to spread the message, and just kind of, as I learn stuff, you know, I just like to talk about it,
and
you know, and then if you learn something, then I like to hear what other people learn, so I can constantly reevaluate my formula, you know, for myself. You know, a lot of your growth don't always necessarily have to come from your own experiences. Man. If you can be empathetic enough to put yourself in somebody else's shoes, and you can take that experience and still grow from watching and studying. You know, it's no different than reading a book.
And like he just mentioned, as far as y'all input, I want to make sure to run this phone number off, 503-231-8187. Go ahead and call in. Let us know what's on your mind, too.
That's right.
Yeah, I feel like there's this feeling... I'm over here stuttering. there's this feeling that I feel like as of late, really being in a transition stage for myself, personally and professionally, as far as the growth, and you know, really being ready to get to that next level. And it's like it's a crazy uncomfortable feeling, because it's that one half that's comfortable and you know knows a certain role so well. Has an understanding of what to do, like clockwork, and getting to a point where it's become uncomfortable now and ready to make that leap of faith and jump back into the world in a different, I guess, a different skin, like how you put the different phone cases on. It's the different skin,
right?
And I just feel like something big is coming, and this is why I'm uncomfortable in this moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I went to our calculated page, and you know, there was a question, you know, posted on there asking people about their, like, you know, when they're feeling off, kind of what's the things that bring them back to being centered.
Right.
Which is interesting too, because sometimes in the world you realize how much people don't pay attention to the details.
Oh, right.
And, you know, but again, you know, we got some good input. You know, I didn't want it so generalized. I was thinking of this, it was like, you know, trying to lay out some things that other people can kind of take from.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Specifically.
Specifics. Because it's like, you know, listen to music. Well, what kind of music? You know, what kind of this? What kind of that? Kind of going into some detail. But, you know, a couple of the answers, which seemed to be a theme through it, was kind of like meditation. That was kind of the responses kind of hovered around prayer, meditation.
Mm-hmm.
This, and I'm seeing that. I I don't personally meditate.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely have my moments of very directed thinking, which I guess could probably be because there's certain moments of just picturing certain things. I've tried some of the little walkthrough guided meditations and so on, but it ain't necessarily my go-to, you know, in there. Somebody did give a good little set, which was like, you know, the first idea of deep breathing, which I don't think people put enough stock in what a deep breath, a long inhale, slow exhale can really do for your energy level. Like, it's really something crazy that can do. And doing that a few times in these moments of feeling something, that idea of getting up and walking away, and again, these like cliche things, but there's really something behind them. But this person wrote journaling, and if all else fails, taking a nap. I feel like a nap is a cure-all.
Right.
Nap cures hunger, headaches, stomach aches, whoopings.
Accountability.
Losing on the dice. There's a lot of things that cover.
Right.
One of the things, though, I think about, cause somebody wrote nature and like being out in the nature. And you ever just sat and stared at water, like on the coast, not just being in it, but just sitting and just watching. I don't know if it's the timing of the waves moving, like what it is that's so calming. Yeah. And not even if you're on water, because I understand there's a lot of people that motion sickness and seasick, all that old stuff, but just sitting from somewhere watching. And how much time can pass. And right. I feel like it has something to do with the idea of like brain waves.
Right.
Your brain waves work at a certain flow, right?
Right.
And that's why they say that people who can sing and people who are like artists, music artists, right? There's a way in which certain things resonate is because they're able to catch a flow, which is also like your brain frequency. It's working on a flow. And so I'm wondering if there's some kind of correlation between all those things, and that's why sitting and watching seawater, watching that swell, watching it just go back and forth, and it's a calming, like crazy calming.
Right.
And I feel like your brain really goes to a place that you may not get in other places.
Right.
Yeah,
that's true.
Right.
Yeah.
Just nature, just being outdoors. I don't know. I'm pretty sure there's something behind it. Got to be, because I feel like there's a lot of people who go take a run, take a hike, you know.
Well, consider that, you know, consider the fact that we, you know, we primarily comprise the water as well, you know what I mean? And a lot of times when things go smoothly and everything is in sync and it's all steady and parallel, you know, you get some good, consistent, solid energy, man, and something calming and soothing. And,
right.
You know, you at that level of soothing, but also consider when, you know, there is, you know, a tornado, you know, or a hurricane and what it does to water,
right,
you know.
Right.
The water is literally fighting each other and going in every which way, and there's nothing going in sequence, you know, like it should be, in which obviously nobody's going to sit there and feel good about what's going on, right. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And so that's just a metaphor, man, like, that could also, you know, be tied in there somewhere, you know. It could all mean something, but right. I think the beauty is staying open-minded to figuring it out instead of just discounting it as, oh, that's just water. You know, being able to look at these things and you know, make the correlation with life and, you know, in existence and, you know, and understand that it's got to be bigger, you
right.
know, and nobody can really tell you exactly how it's got to be bigger, but as long as you know it's bigger and you understand what that is and you use and you work with that,
right.
you know, and be loyal to that and use that to your advantage, you know what I mean, whatever that is,
right.
you know.
I think too, and this is interesting because I just made this little, so the idea of this flow, right, and kind of what we were going back and forth a little bit off air, and this idea. And this is more like in your different type of relationships, and this could be friendships, whatever. I feel like there's friendships where you got these different kind of personas there. You got your different personalities,
right?
And you can have a group of, let's say, four people, And you guys know, you got this dude who's too loud. This is the funny guy. Mm-hmm. This is the quiet guy. Right. And this is whoever he is, the hothead. Together, though, you guys work. Because mm-hmm. it's a flow. It's something that works between you guys. Right. Now, let's go to a romantic relationship where you have somebody who, in your moments of heightened energy, and it could be negative heightened energy, can pull you back to here. Mm-hmm. And then on the flip, when it's their time to get up there, you can pull them down, because these could be for two polar opposite reasons of what triggers one, what triggers the other, and mm-hmm. you understanding these flows. Mm-hmm. You understanding that, okay, with this person, what she's upset about, like, I would never, so look, here, chill, look at it like this, and then vice versa, and understanding when you have that, and will that be like that all the time? No, especially in a relationship, even with friendships.
Right.
It's mm-hmm. never just a constant, you know, and that's even with the tide. Sometimes it's calm water, sometimes it's very turbulent.
Right.
But understanding that flow, that typically it's at this flow, mm-hmm. and just how important that is. And it just goes back to, even in conversation, there's a flow in conversation. Me and you sitting here having a conversation on this microphone live on the air.
Right.
We go back and forth a certain way. Right. And it's that pendulum. It swings back. It swings forward.
Right.
It's not a bunch of awkwardness. It's not a bunch of talking overs. It's a flow.
Right.
And understand that how that works. That works great for the listener's ears.
Right.
The same way that being out here and this type of flow between, whether it's a significant other or it's your partner, is a certain flow. Right. Like, you see that group, everybody been out and seen that group of friends, and it's like they are having all the moments right now. Like, they're really living over there. Like, right. you can feel it. Like,
right.
that whole unit makes that unit. And they all play a part, and it makes that flow go smooth. And I think it's some type of emphasis on that. Of just understanding that flow, it plays in so many different arenas.
Yeah.
There is a flow. Figuring out that flow, maybe, you know, some work sometimes, trying to get that, because I think it's a lot of people who started off turbulent and then managed to catch their footing, and then it flowed from there.
Yeah, I like that concept, man. That's super dope.
Yeah.
Calculated conversation.
Calculated. Drop the bomb on it.
Calculated conversation. Respect the flow. Shirt's coming soon. You know, you can't tell me no shirt idea. All right. Okay, so we want to make sure y'all got the phone number, because we do talk a little bit more than what you're probably used to. And so you got to shut us up to call in. 503-231-8187, man. Call in. Don't just listen. Get involved. It's all good. You know, we all here to support each other.
Yes, sir.
Call my brother, call my sister, had that conversation, cross that line, you know, and drop that hesitation, all right? So, hey, but
I got something. This is something that just jumped in my head. I had a dad-daughter talk note written or phrase.
Uh-oh.
Keep so very good. Interesting. So for the listeners who may be new, I'm raising my 13-year-old daughter here in the city. Mom and the rest of the family live up in Seattle. And it's been interesting. I've had it for the last 3 years. So I'm going through the kid to tween to teenager. And, you know, she's a very, 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 very emotionally intelligent person, which I give that some of the highest precedence. Like, great in school and all that stuff too, but just her emotional intelligence is crazy. had a talk this past week, and you know, I've my oldest child will be 20 next month on Halloween, and I remember when she first got asked out by a boy, happened to come to the house. She didn't tell, she gave no answer. She wanted to talk to me about it. And I'm sure that, you know, in her growing up and just, you know, kind of seeing how I was as a young 20-something, she was nervous as to what my reaction would be to it. And I'll never forget her mom telling, like, she's got something to, you know, talk to you about, something to ask you. And sitting down, and she, like, teared up before, coming as, and I'm like, what you want to talk about? You know, trying to make sure I'm, you know, trying to be as soft as I can. Mm-hmm. Like, what's going on? And, you know, she finally worked through the nerves, like, you know, a boy asked me out, and I didn't know, I didn't tell him an answer because I said I had to ask you first. And I remember for, like, I couldn't let her see it, but inside I was doing all the dances, all the, it was like, yeah, something in there worked. But, like, she was, like, to the point of tears.
Right.
And I was like, why, what's wrong? And she was like, I thought you would be mad. Like,
right.
And there was a moment in there where I was like, sheesh, like, I gotta, there's something I gotta do to kind of correct that, to not make this a thing where you scared to have these type of talks. You know
right,
what I mean? So
right.
I logged that in, banked that in the back. You know, I had the conversation with her kind of about, you know, general stuff about boys or whatever. I think this was her, the end of her seventh grade year.
Okay.
And, had a general conversation, didn't go too crazy deep, but just, you know, it's one of these things like, you know, what about this is something that you're drawn to, blah, 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 blah. So she did that, you know, of course, a little middle school,
right,
whatever, I think that was like a month or something. But then here recently, so, you know, I'm not, I'm aware now. I'm not a dummy, like it's middle school, my daughter's just started the eighth grade. Boys, all that stuff is coming with it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And the thing I always tell her, because I'm the cool dad.
Right.
So her homegirls and everything, I got sleepovers like every weekend. I'm they are my house.
Right.
You know, and so having these little talks with them here and there and kind of letting them know, like, you know, overall, y'all gotta, you know, just pay attention. I'm not a dummy, like you guys having conversations about boys, like this whole last 30 minutes, y'all been
right.
over there
right.
going back and forth about so and so, so and so. One of the things I've had a conversation with them recently as a group was just like, you know, if you guys are ever in a situation, I don't care who you, I don't care if y'all fall out from being friends.
Mm-hmm.
You ever in a situation, you uncomfortable at a party, at a whatever, you call my phone, I'm there, no questions asked. I might ask you some questions after I pick you up, but I'm not gonna ask any questions about why you need to be picked up.
Right.
And so, you know, I kind of put that out there, let them know. So that was a preliminary.
Mm-hmm.
So fast forward to here recent, and the other morning, Carmen had a volleyball game. And after we leave the volleyball game, get to Carl's Jr. to grab them some breakfast burgers or whatever, breakfast sandwiches. And Carmen asked me about how do you tell a guy no? How do you tell a boy no without hurting his feelings? And I had to cycle through my head. And I was like, you know, and I told her straight up, and it was her, you know, and her homegirl. And I'm like, 13 and her homegirl's 14 in the ninth grade, Carmen's in the eighth.
Mm.
And I was like, you know, this is where the problem lies in that statement, is you're more concerned, you're concerned about his feelings, because you don't have to be mean.
Right.
But the thing is, you're more concerned about his feelings from the way you just asked me that.
Right.
And what you got to understand as a young lady, both of you guys, as a young lady, you don't owe an explanation for your no.
Right.
There's no, it's
right.
no.
Right.
If that's not, if somebody's wanting to be your boyfriend or asking you out or asking you to go on a date to the movies, go to prom, go to homecoming, no is a sufficient answer.
Right.
And I had that moment where I'm telling her, like, you can say no. You don't have to be crazy and be like, ah, nah, 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 nah.
Right.
You say no, but the thing of, you know, what I try to put in their head is the, that, and making up a million excuses,
yeah.
you don't need to, because what that's going to do is just make him believe that he's got to try a little
that
harder,
he
or
keep,
he's got to,
exactly.
you know what I mean? And the thing is, you don't owe, you're concerned, and I understand that you don't want to let somebody down. I get that. But you as a young lady, and for the listeners, I'm acting like it's two people across the table from me.
Of course.
But
they're not here right,
right.
now. But, yeah, so
but as far as you guys got to understand that you don't owe any of that extra, and you don't have to feel like you're obligated to cater to somebody's feelings.
Right, right.
Just because they ask something of you.
Exactly.
And it's too many, you know, people that get in situations and so on where it's like, you're just doing this because you didn't want to hurt somebody's feelings, but this isn't
right.
what you want to do.
Exactly.
And that's what, you know, I kind of had to kind of give them. And I was like, you know, again, I know you guys, you know, figure it out, but understand that no is sufficient. And if, you know, and again, you don't have to be angry and upset and be like, I nah, nah. It's just,
yeah.
you know, give them the no. I'm like, thanks, whatever, you know, that may be. Or, you know, I understand this is how you feel. No.
Yeah, and, you could even say no thank you.
Right, right.
Okay, I'm not mad. Give that. But thank you.
Yeah.
But no.
Right. And so, you know, but then that was that thing of like, she's like, damn, we at that age, like I'm at that age where, or she's at that age where these are the things I got to take into account,
yeah.
You know, and I'm the parent in the household.
Right.
So it's not like, you know, I can just toss this over to mom to handle that, you know, I mean, her mom's there and all that, but you know, again, not living here in state. And then it was a conversation a little bit later. I feel like the next day they were going back and forth about going to prom, but not wanting to go with, or not prom, but homecoming.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, Carmen's in the eighth, but wanting to go with her friend who's in the ninth,
right.
But them not wanting to go with boys and wanting to go just together because they want to be there, but don't want to, want to do the thing. Carmen's like, you know, I don't really want to, and I'm like, it's your friend. Your friend want to go. You kind of want to go. And I think you know, you're thinking about the idea of not going with boy, like you going and supporting your friend.
Right.
That to me is where, you know, it matters. And that's right. It was funny because that's when I had put that picture up the other day of a little note I wrote about, you know, not thinking of the obligation, thinking of the opportunity.
Right.
And I was like,
right.
You know, you're thinking of the obligation of having to show up to somewhere, but think of the opportunity to show your friend that you support her.
Absolutely.
That's, you know, that's where it's at. So anyways, I'm going to hop up off my high horse because we got some callers on the line.
All right, now, something should never forget. Okay, so we still got somebody on the line. Is Jeff still there?
I'm here.
Jeff, how you doing, man?
I'm all right, man. I hope you're well.
Yes, we are.
What's your mind?
Nothing changes anything quite like a diagnosis of cancer. And that's the issue at hand, which I want you to riff on, and I know you will be able to do it capably, ably, and wholly, and very well. But nothing quite changes everything like a diagnosis of cancer, whether it's in your wife or husband, or worse yet, your child. Bad enough that it be your parent, who, like you, is bound for the grave eventually. But nothing changes everything quite like a diagnosis of cancer. And I'd like you to riff on how you deal with that when you are in the flow. And I'll take your answer completely off the air. I'm going to hang up in just a second. And I thank you for your time. And I deeply, deeply, deeply love your show. It is the greatest show on radio. Thank you, men. And good night.
Jeff, thank you, man.
Yeah, we're going to definitely hit you off air, Jeff. If you can reach out to at the Gmail at unrefined, or wrong show. calculatedconversation@gmail and hit with the answer, or you can even go to the website at calculatedconversation.com and just leave one of the things so we can be able to get in contact, cuz I think I would like to expand on that drop.
Right, that was a good question, man. I love it, man. Yeah. Encourage us to go deep, man, and really, really break it down from all angles. It's got to be universal, baby.
Right, right.
So do we got Jasmine on the line?
Yeah, I'm here.
Jasmine, hey. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you guys?
We are amazing. Thanks for calling.
Yeah. I just really, first and foremost, wanted to thank you guys for what you're doing and say how much I appreciate listening in every week.
Nice.
I mean, I had some things I thought I wanted to say until I heard Ken talking about his daughter, and that really resonated with me because I'm 25 and I still am trying to figure out how to say no and still be, you know, respectful and not hurt anybody, because as an empath, I feel like it's so hard to navigate respecting your own boundaries as a person and mm-hmm. still living
yes.
a life that you feel like is acceptable.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, that just really hit home. And I know I really love David's slogan of, I just can't, because that just seemed pretty perfect for me. But
yeah,
I don't know, I'm nervous. I'm not going to ramble, but I just wanted to say thank you.
All right. Well, we appreciate you calling, man. And thanks for listening. And it's a lot of love involved.
Yes, thank you.
All right.
I think that's definitely, you know, of course, is one of those, you know, topic subjects that can go, you know, really grand, and it's for everybody. I think that, right. you know, most of us just as humans, like, you don't want to feel like you're you're, especially if it's you know, in a situation where you're having to come in contact with a person, or be, right, you know, let's say this is somebody you come into contact with on a regular, and to try to let somebody down, because you don't know what somebody else, you know what I mean, right, what their reaction to that and so on. And I feel like the more that I'm having to be aware of my understanding, the understanding given to me by women of what it's like to be a woman, to be a young lady growing into a young woman, mm-hmm, growing into a woman, the more I'm being made aware of that experience, mm, you know, and it's really shaking me up, mm, and making me, you know, look at things in a crazy different light.
Right.
It's like anything else. It's an experience I haven't had, so I can't.
I mean, you're basically having to empathize like never before.
Right.
You know,
and then being taking all this stuff that I get from and trying to pour this in, you know, finding a way to funnel this down to where I'm not just preaching to my daughter, but right, at the same time finding these opportunities to kind of express this. Mm. But I think that's still one of the most difficult things, because even as, you know, a man and being at this fresh 34, there's still situations where it's like, yikes, like do I want to do it this way? And like, how do you let it down easy? How do you curve that without being, but then realizing more times than not, that just, that makes it get bigger.
Yeah.
Because that person is like, okay, I'm just, I need to come from here. Oh, it's a joke. Oh, it's a, no. You know what I mean? Right. So it's having to do that. And it happens on both sides. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. But right, even more for the women, I think that this is one of the things they don't take into account as a young boy, young man, boys, men, whatever, get shot down a lot more than you could probably understand.
Mm-hmm.
As a woman, I feel like women don't get shot down as much.
True.
Right. Mm-hmm. So them having to think from that angle of what it would feel like for them, thinking like what it must feel like to get shot down.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like on this end, it happens a little bit more.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So overall, we can balance, but don't get me wrong, this is I'm not making a blanket statement for everybody. I'm giving right. You know, how it should be. Of course, there's gonna be the people that was loving, and as soon right. as you say no, and you know, then all of a sudden you the worst things in the world. You know what I mean?
We're talking about average circumstances.
Average, there you go. But bringing it up in the jump, and I think a lot of things is nipping things in the bud. One of the things my pops taught me early is you let somebody do it to you once, then you let them know that they can do it to you again. Right? And there's certain things that you nip in the bud. You address it right in, at that point, instead of kind of letting it kind of perpetuate, and you're like, hey. And then it gets to this point that now you're almost in too deep, where this person feels some type of connection. They feel that they can do something a certain type of way.
Right.
You know what I mean? And again, there's nothing wrong with being able to say no, you know, and like you said, no, thank you. You know, that's and leave it there. Again, right. You don't have to have this old explanation like, I got a boyfriend, I got, and even on the man's side, like, there's no explanation that's needed. But I think it's even more so where on the realm of how men operate and feel that they're right. obligated a lot of times to these things from women.
Right.
You got to nip that. Yeah. And there does come a point where you have, at that point when this, me being cordial with you, doesn't work, where then you may have to kick it up into something to where, okay, this is a lot more stern and direct as
right,
far as
right.
how this is coming across.
Right, right.
You know, you start out at a level, then you work it up to there. You know what I mean? Right. But again, it's a slippery slope. I mean, there's no one size fits all in any of that. Because none of us are the same.
No, we all different, man, and so it's always gonna vary across the board, but. I'm just a firm believer in information, man. You know, information's got to be accurate. You know, it's got to be delivered speedily. You know, it's got to be real, and it's got to be relevant.
Mm.
You know, and realistically, I believe we do live in a place that tries to discourage us from being honest a lot of the time. Mm. You know, because there is this somewhere along the line it was, you know, the stigma was created that, you know, honesty equal negativity, or honesty is equal to anger.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And so when we look at things from this aspect, we have a lot of people, good people, trying not to be honest.
Yeah.
You know? And what this is causing is more confusion down the line, because you really can't make any decisions when your information is inaccurate.
Right.
So the decisions you're going to make based off that, once they go into the formula, is going to send you down the wrong hallway,
right.
You know? And so the point is, I mean, I just, you know, I know how hard it is. And I know people get upset at me all the time, man. Like, I cannot tell y'all how many people don't really like me for the fact that I don't know how to not tell you how I feel.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to just make you think everything is cool when it's not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yes, I'm gonna have a strategy. Yes, I'm gonna be respectful. Yes, I'm gonna be patient.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, I'm gonna provide some clarity, but I'm gonna get to you the most accurate information as quick as I can.
Right.
You know, hopefully in a language that you can understand. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so with that being said, sometimes it don't matter how you say it. Sometimes the truth is just enough to create a separation.
Right.
I don't care. You know, some people just don't want to hear the truth. You know what I mean? Because the truth comes with the stigma of being negative. It's basically telling somebody, in their mind, that somebody telling them that they're not good enough.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That there's something wrong with them because I have to tell you the truth about something that affects you, or maybe something you may have did voluntarily, involuntarily, by accident, you know, intentionally, whatever the case may be.
I think it's key also to point out is that interaction, that type of interaction, that's your truth, right?
Because
that's what I definitely feel, and I've had this conversation too, of everybody has a reality, right? And so the same way that your experiences shape how it is you take in words, how you take in body language, all that stuff, is it? So again, that person and how you're dealing, you're giving them your truth and you're telling them the exact truth. But I do think there's some weight to this, and we talked about this, I believe, on this show, of if 10 people are asked about you and they're consistently saying the same thing, they're not tripping at that point, because it's a shared experience of who you are at that point. So if you keep hearing this same thing, now, if you come across that one person that's saying this thing that's not, and it could be, maybe they are saying it, because again, that's their reality.
Right.
Not saying you have to agree with it, and I think that's the point that, you know, we jump in, because we're comparing it to our data. Our visual of ourself and our understanding of ourself is a lot different, most cases, than other people's experience and understanding of us.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I think that's why, off the jump, that's where it's a lot of, because this is your belief of who you are. So when who you are and your belief in who you are gets challenged, that's a lot of people, their first reaction, and it takes somebody really at a point of being open to, oh, okay, this is the experience I'm giving this person.
Right.
Is this person, in my mind, I take it into account is this person worth me trying to make their experience different?
Right.
And not that anybody's not worth people, everybody's valuable. But again, in my back and forth, is it worth putting that extra effort in to make them think something different? Because at that point, I can't live my life trying to please everybody and making everybody try to think this one thing of me.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And so I think that even like for yourself, I feel there's a consistent almost across the board of what they can expect because of the way in which you are. The way in which you have been. Of course, you continue to develop and grow, but I think there's this understanding as far as when people deal with you.
Right.
And when they get that piece of you that may come across and actually challenge, you know, because it's interesting how people always agree with you when it's about everybody else.
Right.
And then when it's their time to stand in front of the fire, all of a sudden it's, hey, yeah.
Right.
But you weren't doing that when you were on my side cheerleading me on doing this. Mm-hmm. With everybody else, being up front and being honest with everybody else. But then when I do that with you, now there's an issue. And I am a believer that, you know, you should,
That's why I get them in private.
Right. Yeah, I never put nobody in blast in front of nobody.
No, but, you know, what you said is real. You know, I mean, it definitely, things can always be left up to interpretation. And I think that's where things get sticky, when people start to present interpretation as fact or intention, you know. And so me personally, I've been studying this for a while, you know, and so I know better than to assume intentions.
Gotcha.
I stay away from that.
Gotcha.
That's me respecting your character,
right?
But still talking about your actions, right. You know, and so I'm talking about facts.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean? I'm not talking about how I feel about them yet.
Hmm.
You know, I ain't decided that, but I do know that these are the facts. And if we can acknowledge just what exactly happened,
mm-hmm.
then we could talk about how each of us feel and where we both coming from.
Right.
If a person can't acknowledge exactly what happened, then it's really no sense in talking to them right now. Like you said, mm-hmm. that's when you get to that point to where you let them stay in their bubble for your sake and
right.
and their sake.
Right, right.
Because
right.
if you can't acknowledge the truth
mm-hmm.
about what happened, and then there's you can't even get to the end of you can't get to the resolution because you don't even know what happened. So you don't know what you're resolving.
Huh.
So every resolution you throw out is related to a whole another situation that never existed.
That's the arguing two different points.
You know, and so this is how relationships, you know, this is how they disagree. This is how people disagree. This is how people fight. This is how people get on social media and battle. They don't even know. They haven't even decided, you know, and that's why I encourage people always get down to the bottom of things. So before you come up with your opinion, your point of view, you know, how you feel, figure out what in the heck is going on first. Figure
right.
out what happened. Let's talk about the facts of the situation in the very beginning on how we got here. And together we can talk about how those facts made us each feel individually
mm-hmm.
and see if we can build the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
But if you keep telling me this didn't happen, then I don't really know where else to go from here when I just saw it.
Do you think, though, that it plays into, again, the idea of what my reality versus this person's reality? Because if I said something that in my reality,
mm-hmm.
that's not offensive, right? So just take that into account.
Yeah.
And then this person, so us trying to find out the truth because they feel that this was wrong, I feel this wasn't.
Right.
Where are we going to find the truth in that?
Right.
That's where that gets difficult.
I know, but that's what I was saying. That's why you go deeper. The facts is not why you said it or how comfortable people are when you say that. Uh-huh. The fact is, what did you say exactly? You know what I'm saying? Do we agree on that or don't we?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Once we agree on that, and then you can let me know how you feel. You can let me know where you come from. This is normal. This is normal speech. This is normal relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll let you know where I come from. We don't recognize that as normal. We recognize that as toxic. Okay, now we come to an agreement because I know you respect me. You know I respect you. Now we know what's no ill intent. So from that point, we can solve the situation by talking about how we can move forward and either keep that in and understand it or mm-hmm. take that out altogether or change it to something we both relate to on the mm-hmm. same terms. And then we just built the relationship. We just calculated the conversation. And we just resolved an issue because two people were different, but they found a way to maximize those differences. And now they're teammates.
Hmm.
You know what I'm saying? This is what it's all about.
Yeah, yeah.
Everybody goes through that.
Yeah.
What you just said, and that's how simple it looks. But then we got to go deeper and pull out we got to go under the dirt and talk about this.
That level one, though, I feel like that's where a lot. I think we all got, you know, plenty of examples of where
it's hard, man.
Getting from that point, because if again we can agree that, you know, I said this can is whack. Like we can agree that I said that, but if you. This is, you know, you're.
That's your opinion, though. See, that's
right. No, I get it.
Yeah.
But this is where, you know, where who, you know, this is something where it's a design. So where's a fact in design? There's no fact. You know what I mean? So that's what I'm saying. Where there's things that are gonna be opinion and our differences of opinion that for ourselves, it gets turned in as humans. A lot of humans turn these opinions into fact. Like art, how it's subjective. There's a lot of things that are subjective that we're arguing. Think of how many people you watch online and argued over a song. Who's the best artist? What's the best this, that? And it's so subjective of people getting actually upset.
And you know the problem with that is that when people are talking about, like this can, for instance, they can't agree on nothing but the fact that it's a can.
Right.
And that's all you have to agree on. They both already agree on that.
Yeah.
So they can go back and forth about what they like about the can and what they don't. You know what I'm saying? Same thing. And with these artists online or you know, listening to music, people talking about who's the best and who's not. But guess what? They're not going deep enough.
Right.
So we talking about who's flow the best. We talking about who ride the beat the best, who got the best production.
Yeah.
We talking about who got the hardest, you know what I'm saying, who got the loudest beats.
Yeah.
Are we talking about, we so talking
who
about,
normalized
who, you know what I mean? So that's what I'm saying. We not going deep enough.
Right. I guess that's, and so maybe that was a wrong example because this is an object. So I think more in the realm of where it's words, because that's where it gets tricky.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes back to what I was saying about something I'm saying that may be offensive to somebody over here, or somebody takes feels slighted. If I do not feel that way at all, there's nothing in my history that says that that's wrong. I'm not going to feel wrong.
Right.
This person is not going to feel that I'm right. Right. And so trying to come to that moment of, we understand, yes, I said that. We can agree that I said that.
Right.
That's still leaving us at square one as far as, you know, the understanding that she believes I'm wrong, I believe I'm right, and then, you know, having to go from there. So that's just where it's those pieces in there that get way harder, and that's where sometimes you have to just, the silence.
Right.
That's sometimes where you have to just leave it where it's at, because I do believe that there are situations where trying to get that understanding,
mm-hmm.
the energy that's going to go into trying to grab that understanding, is it actually worth it?
It's like you just have to be, again, if you solving, here's the thing, man. Like, if we solving the problem,
mm-hmm.
you want to, you know, like people, you know, there's a lot of controversy in society, especially our country, about politics, race, about like literally everything that's going wrong amongst the fact that people are just different.
Right, right.
And this is what we're talking about. People are just are just different. You know what I'm saying? And so you have to, and I'm telling, and people are arguing. I don't argue. See, people are arguing all day back and forth online about these political stances. And the bottom line is, either you talking to somebody who is looking for a resolution,
mm-hmm.
or you talking to somebody that's committed to misunderstanding.
Gotcha.
You have to know who you talking to.
Right.
First off, you know what I'm saying? And so, so if we're gonna solve a problem, we have to have two people that is committed to resolution.
Right.
And if we're not gonna solve the problem, two people, or at least one person committed to misunderstanding. And if you're socially aware enough, you have to read this person, understand that, and their conversation alone to let you know where they stand in the process of resolution. You know what I'm saying? Or in the process of misunderstanding.
See how that came full circle? That's exactly.
You know what I mean? And so we just got to encourage people to go deeper, because what you're saying happened all the time.
Yeah.
It's always happened. And this is what's breaking people down. Yeah, because nobody understands that we could go a little deeper.
Right.
I mean, we can see the results, but we can also go, let's talk about intention for a second. Just for a second.
But as you said, I respect people. You. It gotta be two,
gotta
people,
be two people,
and you gotta know when to.
And you bow out when I'm in committee. You bow out. You energy management.
Clap that.
You energy management.
Exactly.
You know, you bow out on them, bro.
Yes.
Like, otherwise, you know what I'm saying, you're going up a ice slope, like you said,
and it ain't gonna do nothing but wreck you. And that's one of those things where you kind of got to get. And that's something off air what I was kind of talking about, of putting the energy into certain things. You know, you're not gonna get the exchange on.
Right.
You're about to take on a load and be weighed down. And it's like, you know, the note I got written on here, silence can speak louder than every voice in the room combined.
Right. Absolutely.
Sometimes it is just pushing away from the table.
Right.
You know, you got to, especially taking into account if you're dealing with somebody that's at a certain level of understanding, their silence, that should tell you everything.
That's right.
Especially somebody that likes to communicate. So when somebody quits communicating, that likes to talk, somebody that's typically going for that, and they stop.
Right.
That's where you know it's to that point.
Right.
Absolutely. You know, there's plenty of men and women around this world, you know, they've been begging their significant other to do this or do that, and then it comes to a point where they're no longer asking.
Right.
You know.
Trust me.
Same thing. Work. You know. You ask for this. You doing all the stuff. You trying to get a promotion. You trying to whatever it may be. And there comes a point where, you know, you may have one of your best. You know, an employer may have their best person here, and they quit even having that fight. That's dangerous. You know, at that point, it's over, and you got to protect that.
Right.
There's only so much back and forth, and I think that's something to take into account and understand when to engage and what is actually worth it. Is somebody trying to understand? Is there anything about their anything, especially online? Like, go to somebody's profile and scroll through for a second. It'll tell you a lot. I don't care. This isn't 10 years ago where you could say it's just the internet. There's a piece of this that's overlay, especially for the people who put too much of their actual things going on and their actual personal feelings. Now, again, if you have your people, I feel like me, you, and it's some select others who just throw these things out there just to have some little moments of fun, and but it's not sitting here with these whole whatevers, but you can go and see it. This person is always going back and forth, always discussing what's wrong in life, what's wrong with people, what's wrong with always what's wrong.
Right.
Then that lets you, this isn't somebody trying to understand nothing.
Right, right.
So why go back and forth? Why have this? That exchange is doing nothing for you. It's helping them feel some kind of way because they're feeling validated in their weird thinking. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
There's only so much. You leave that up to whoever it is that may be able to say something to them where it resonates, because somebody else will say something that you said to them and it'll work. Right. You just might not be that person. Right. You know what I mean?
And that's why the main thing is important to understand people. It's important to understand your own energy. It's important to read other people's energy. And this is how you keep yourself out of these situations. This is where energy management is very important, because you really don't want to engage into any kind of debate or anything with anybody that's committed to making sure that they don't understand you. You know? I mean, there's really no resolution up out of that. So you have to know if you're dealing with a person that's about resolution, or if you're dealing with a person that's about misunderstandings. And you know, and you got to work off that. When you go against the grain, you're going to be arguing online all night. You know? And so, and I'm a big, big, regardless of what I say about communication, man, and as much as I like to do it, anybody who knows me know I will cut communication, man, when the energy is no longer keeping the lights on.
Quick, fast, in a hurry.
You know, like I really will do that. Like I do believe that at some point there's nothing left to say, but you do have to try. You do have to make attempts. But after a while, protect yourself. Protect your energy. Don't have nobody have you mad enough to where you're going on Facebook saying you don't like all this sex, or you don't like all this flavor, or you hate all strawberry ice creams. You know, like understand where your role is. Like, you know, the best remedy, you know, in medication is self-awareness.
Right.
You know what I mean? I don't know no other way to get further than by looking at yourself and what you doing. You the one driving.
Hey.
You know, and so we gotta all keep these things in perspective, man. You know, and again, I definitely don't got it together. So trust me.
Yeah.
I crash all the time, and that's why I'm just now starting to, you know, grow in some areas just the last couple of months. I've just been growing. You know, I've been looking at myself, breaking myself down some more. You know, took a break from just, you know, from, you know, like the whole social media outside of business, you know what I mean? Just communicating all day. Like, you know, I just took a break from all that stuff. Yeah. And I really had a chance to see where my, you know, where some of my growth opportunities was. Right. And so I started studying up and start reading more and start writing more and, you know, keep these conversations going with everybody I come across on a daily basis, man.
Yes.
You know.
So I know we're getting ready to get up out of here.
Yeah.
One thing I want to leave on going out is something I wrote down a night or two ago. But it's the idea that every opportunity that's presented is not necessarily for you. Sometimes that opportunity that's presented is for you to pass on to somebody else.
Right.
And that's really what it's about. If you're doing it for self, you're doing it for the wrong reasons. And with that, run them down, Danny.
Another fire episode of Calculated Conversation Radio Show.
Hit him with the socials.
Okay. Find us online. IG Calculated at Calculated Conversation.
Bam.
Facebook Calculated Conversation Radio Show.
Bam.
Online www.calculatedconversation.com.
Bam.
Twitter at Calculated Talk.
Bam.
At home, don't call me. No, I'm kidding, totally kidding. But we appreciate everybody, man. Much love. Hope y'all enjoyed the conversation. If you called in, man, we are grateful, man. This is just, we doing what we do, man, to keep the conversation on fire, man.
Got him. And we out. We'll be right back.
grace upon creation. Goodness and mercy driven from the minds of the people. Lamentation, Josiah, deliver, Josiah, have mercy, Josiah. Father, send us some goodness and mercy. It's like a murder, them a got charged for a pure chemical industry, them a run from cultivation. Goodness and mercy driven from the minds of the people. Lamentation, Josiah, deliver me, Josiah, have mercy, Josiah. Father, send I some goodness and mercy. Hey, send I some goodness, send I some goodness and mercy. Hey.
This is KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM.
Girl in the cut and she choose a club going.